podcast is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
Today we want to start a new series called In His House. And as you will hopefully see today, in his house, in God's house, things are a little bit different. We are not just a company. We are not just a social club. We are not just a facility that offers something on Sunday morning. A church is something much, much more. Have you ever had the situation that you were looking for something very small and you couldn't find it because it was not at its proper place? Maybe I'm the only one here to experience this, but best example lately, I wanted to go into my little garden house to get something out of there, and I go into my real house, and there is a little nail on the wall, and there is the key. The key wasn't there, and then it starts. An hour of searching, an hour of being frustrated. Is it in this trouser? Is it in that trouser? Is it in that car? In that car? In this office? In this daycare center? In this church? By the time I found it, I was so frustrated that I didn't do anything that day anymore. But this shows that sometimes it's these little tiny things that are not in his proper place that can ruin the whole day. The Bible says something similar about the church. Let's have a look at this. We see this is the similarity between the church and a body. It's 1 Corinthians. It's a longer section, but I really want to mine it, the goal that is in there today. So let's read it. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so it's to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And here it comes. But in fact, God has placed the parts and the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. This is important. God placed us into his body the way he wanted it to be. My question this morning is, do you know where your place is? Do you know where your place is? Because guess what? It's the little things, the little parts that cause a lot of trouble for the whole body. Sometimes we experience problems with our body. We cannot walk properly. It's hard to find a balance. The whole body is like not working properly. Why? Because a little tiny thing in our ear does not do its job. And because of this little tiny thing being not in place, the whole body is largely affected by it. You cannot see my muscles and my joints in my foot. You cannot see it, and they never get praised. They never get recognized. Have you ever had the case that somebody says, "Hey, Frank, so nice to see you, and boy, your joint is awesome"? No, they never get recognition. They are never seen. But if my joint doesn't really work well, the moment I want to run, I feel it. The moment I want to lift weight, I feel it. I'm paralyzed because this one joint is not in place or doesn't do its job. So is the church. There are so many tasks behind the scenes. They mostly not often get recognized. But if you have an understanding that they are so important, if you do your job, the place where God has placed you, imagine this church. Imagine every person from the coffee to the kids ministry to the slides to the visuals to the cleaning team to the band to the administration team. Everybody understands that and takes its place and gives its best. I'm telling you, a church like this is not stoppable. But what does it matter if I show up and help with the kids? If I'm there or not there, nobody sees me. This is not the question. The question is, has God placed you there? Where is your place? We see that God has placed the parts of his body as he wants it to be. Let me give you another scripture. Just read through it and then we build on it. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts of that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presented parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together. Now listen to this. Giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. God does it on purpose, that these little tiny tasks that nobody sees have a huge effect. Why? For us to remember we are a family. It's not this one preacher, not this one musician, not this one brilliant guy who is so gifted. No, it's we as a family are called to be a voice in this nation. And if you don't take your place, if you are not doing your job, something goes wrong and it has a huge impact on the whole body. God wanted it to be like this. We need to get this down, church. We need to understand this. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If my joint is not working, boy, my body suffers. Could it be that most churches, and I don't want to place us in this statistic, but could it be that most churches only run on 20-25% of its capacity because we don't understand this? Because we just come and it's not that important. It's important to be on stage. No, it's not important to be on stage. But the foot says, but why does the mouth always get all the recognition? Everybody listens to the mouth. The mouth is on the video podcast. Everybody looks to the mouth. I want to be the mouth. I understand that. But listen, if God calls you to be his mouth, he will come and promote you and he will look for you. And where will he look for you? At your place. So many times God looks for us to promote us and he looks for us at our place and we are not there because we left our place. I hope I'm speaking to somebody here. This is so real, folks. This is so true. This is something that we need to learn. First take home, look for your place, not a position. Where is your place? Look at Mary in the Bible, the one who gave birth to Jesus. She was a mother. What did she do? She cared for one child. She protected this little boy with her life. Imagine Mary would have been full of ambition. But God, I want to start churches. I want to preach. I want to be on the stage. I want to do big things for you. Maybe she would have done it. But we all would have been lost. Because her place was to take care of this one child. And he became the savior of us all. It's important that you understand where your place is and that you take it and that you serve there with all your love, all your energy, everything that you have, because this is your place. And we need to understand this. We need to get this down. The Bible tells us, 1 Samuel chapter 16, then Samuel, the prophet, said to Jesse, are all your sons here? He said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. David, the future king of Israel, the one who had this anointing on him, where was he? At his place. And where was his place? With the sheep on the field. This was his place. Not very glorious. It's not very exciting. And I don't know how many times he would have sat there and said, God, what am I doing here? Tending some sheep. How exciting is that? But it was his place. And when his time came, God found him with the sheep. God was looking for him at this place. Will God find you if he comes to look for you at your place? Or have we left it already? Because we feel there's something in us, some anointing, some giftings. I can do so much more. Of course you can. My wife, there's so much more potential in her than these at the moment she can give to the church. But we have three little children. And we understand her place at the moment is there. And this is difficult because you know you could do so much more, but it's not your place for this season. It is not your place. Imagine she would leave that place right now and would preach and we would travel and we would build 5 churches and we would end up losing the relationship to our kids. If I need to choose between a big church and having a good relationship with my sons, I go for my sons. If you make me choose between a 500 people church and a divorce, I will choose for my wife. I don't need this church. My place is at home. And there are seasons where God called us out. So look for your place, not a position. Just because you can doesn't mean that you have to right now. There's an interview with Lou Engel out there on YouTube. You will find it if you look for it. And this really touched me. It's like a discussion on a stage. And there are other guys with him. And however, from the audience, somebody asked this question. He says, Lou, in your relationship with Jesus, what was the most difficult thing in your life? And everybody was like, what a question is that? I mean, he's a famous leader, a known leader. All the cameras are on him. YouTube is there. And what is he to say? What is difficult in my relationship with Jesus? But what he said was brilliant. He said, the most difficult thing in my relationship with Jesus was to stand in my place. Because that I knew all the time, my whole life, I knew that there was anointing given to me, that there was a calling resting on my life. And it was hard for me to wait until I was released by the age of 47. Then I was released to start this ministry. But I felt it my whole life. And it was difficult to stay at my place. And he used one example, and this was brilliant. He said, there are 2 horses carrying the chariot of the king with his royal garments, a harness. Strong, anointed, gifted, full of potential. And this one horse says, hey, I'm done with this. I can do so much more. And he leaves his place. He strips of all the harnesses and the royal garments and runs into the open field and jumps around, said, hey, there's freedom. Come and follow me. And the other horse just stayed in his place. Then the horse came back, said, this is awesome out there. There's water, there's food, people love us. There's our stages, people want to see us. We have YouTube channels. But this one horse said, no, I'm here carrying the chariot of my king. That's my place. And he said, then the vision shifted and times changed. And this horse came starving to death, bruised and wounded. Nobody protected it. But this horse who stood there in front of the chariot of the king stood there in anointing, strength, was well fed, was protected by the king because he waited until he was released. He said, the most difficult thing sometimes is to stay at your place. I remember one time that, I come from Germany and I was part of a youth movement called the Jesus Freaks. I know this is a difficult word in American context, but for young people in Germany, it really just means nerd. No, you're all about Jesus. So it's nothing negative to it in Germany. I know in other languages it can have a different notation. However, but we were traveling through the country. We were making concerts. We were evangelizing on the street. One time I stood on a driving van with a megaphone preaching to the people in the streets. It was a lot of fun. I like this stuff. You cannot do it nowadays anymore with all the terrorism. People pick you up and put you in jail. Just don't do that at home. But back then it was great. So we had a lot of fun. However, we set up all these stages. And I remember this one time that I was really frustrated. And I was carrying these amps and I connected the cables. But if the service started, always other people stood there to preach. I said, Lord, I feel this thing in me. I would love to do this as well. And I heard the voice of the Lord as clearly as I can hear it. He said, Frank, your time will come. For now, stand in your place. And I kept serving. I kept connecting cables for the people on stage. Until the Lord said, and now it's time, my son. I want you to go to Belgium. And things shifted. We need to stay in our place. And this is sometimes difficult. Mom, sometimes you are yelling at God. God, I don't want to take care of the kids all the time. I want to do this or do that. And that's okay. But don't leave your place before the king comes and finds you there and promotes you. It's too important to miss that point. Take home number 2. Oh yeah, this is another example. We skip that. Elijah was found. Elijah was found. Where? On the field, behind oxen. That's also not really the super exciting place to be, behind 12 oxen on a field somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But this was his place. And God found him and anointed him, and he released him. Well, here we go. Your place is your greenhouse. A greenhouse is a place in serre, we call it in Netherlands, in Dutch, a serre, a greenhouse. In a greenhouse, there's a different climate. That's why tomatoes sometimes grew in a greenhouse, but not outside, because the climate is different. Your place is this greenhouse. Your place is this moment where you learn to be faithful, where you learn to be on time, where you learn to work out conflicts, where you learn all these precious things that you need. It's your greenhouse to grow. If you have never learned to work out conflicts in a good way, to stand your ground, to disagree but come anyway, love anyway, forgive anyway, just be there because you are called to be in this place, what makes you think that you will do all this in the place you want to be? If you do not learn it here, you won't have it there. Your place is your greenhouse. It builds us up, and with everything that comes to it. The Word of God says, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. So does it matter that you come and help with the kids every Sunday? Yes, it does. Does it matter that you count the offering money and you write it down and you put it properly in its place so that nothing happens with it? Yes, it does. Does it matter if you come for prayer evenings? Yes, it does. Does it matter if you show up for a lifeboat? Yes, it does. Because if it's your place, God wants to grow you there. That's your place to learn how to be faithful, forgiving, loving, have a gentle heart, a forgiving heart, a soft heart. Difficulties arise. What do? We draw back, we criticize from the back, or do we seek open communication? Said, hey, listen, what you just said hurt me. Can we talk about this? We work it out like brothers and sisters. We need this place where this is possible. And where is it? It's your place. In his house, where you can learn this. It's this place in his house. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you find yourself at a place where you struggle. Stay in place, because God will find you there. In his time, he will come. He will promote you, but he will look to this place. Stand your ground. Now, many of you know the story already, but I worked with Teen Challenge for three years, the one organization in Germany, and I ended up leading a little Christian kindergarten, and because we are tight in budget, I was like everything. Now, I was the director, and I also cleaned the toilets. I did like everything. I did the groceries, and so there was only me, and in fact, I was the only one working there. Oh, I had this group of children. It was a kindergarten. So I had to clean this place every day. Also the toilets. And there was a time where I grew more and more frustrated. I said, God, I have a 5-year education. I worked in Munich. I got a lot of money. I had much more responsibility. I'm not your cleaning lady, God. Can we not find anybody else to do that? God broke my heart in that moment. Because he came and he said, what if you would do it for me? What if I would ask you to clean the toilets? I'm telling you, and my leaders around, they knew that I was a rebellious brat at that time. They saw a change from one day to the other. Because I bursted into tears. I said, Lord, if you want me to clean these toilets, what a privilege it is. Lord, for you, every time, any place. And it was my worship moment every day to clean the toilet. That God, I love to serve you. And if this is it, if this is my place, here I am. I'm yours. But we need to learn these lessons, folks. But I want to be on stage. I never asked God to be on stage. He found me at my place. And he promoted me. He said, you plant a church. Stand there and preach. Was not my idea, not my ambition. Stay at your place. Serve God with all your heart. And he will come and find you there, and he will promote you. Not people, not leaders, not pastors. He will come to find you and promote you. I give you my word this morning. Let me give you a third take home. Your place is part of something that is bigger than yourself. We need to understand that the kingdom of God will not grow through this one preacher, this one musician, not even this one church, but that we need all of us. Whatever your part is, and I don't care if you clean, if you preach, if you lead lifeboats, if you help with the kids, if you do administration, if you do finances, if you record videos, I don't know what it is, but this is part of something bigger. And if you do your part well, the whole house shines and makes a difference in the city. It makes a difference in the city. Now, I have three children, and my oldest, Joel, he's so much like me. And the older he gets, the more I recognize myself in him. This is only, I don't know, fathers here who can, you know, it's a weird feeling. You know, you see your strength, you see your weakness, you see everything in your children. It's weird, sometimes confronting. But lately, my Joel, he's 7 years old, he surprised me. You know, if I would have to describe Joel, I would say he is an introvert lion. There are times where he has such a feel for righteousness. And if he understands something and he believes that this is right, he doesn't care about anybody standing next or right. He will make his point no matter what. There is this lion in him that just, this is right and I see it and I stand up for it. At the same time, he is also sometimes we are introvert people. and he needs his time alone from time to time. Sometimes he's vulnerable and he needs to draw back and regain his strength. And he's not that outgoing. He can be outgoing, but not all the time. You know? And this one moment, now all our kids help in the household. Just little tasks. We want them to clean the table, bring their plates to the dishwasher, clean their own space, and we train them and help them to do it. Sometimes they don't do it, and we have a fight about it, so don't worry, we are just normal family, like everybody else. But this day, Joel just was so joyful. He took his plate, he walked to the dishwasher, he put it in, he walked back. He took even the cup from Caleb, his little brother, and brought it all to bag. And he was cleaning, and he was in a very good mood. And we said, Joel, hey, this is awesome. Thank you so much. And then he looks at me and he says, of course, I love to help to build the family. I know all the fathers might understand that this is the moment that really gets to us. I said, if the church would understand this, if we in the church would understand this, the task that he did was not famous, was not glorious, but he did it with joy. And he said, I love to build this family. I think this is what is from 1 Corinthians. That's the thing. If we have this attitude, people, I'm telling you, Lighthouse is at the moment 130, 140 people, including kids. But if we have this attitude, if we say, hey, I love to build this house because we are part of something bigger, we want to reach the city, everybody in his place. And I'm going to find my, if you have your place, take your place. If you don't know your place, ask God and he will place you. And if you have it, stand there and do your best. And I'm telling you, nothing can stop the church. This is this unity, this love, this complex organism that is so pumped with a longing to serve God. God puts his hand on it. Phew. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. So I want to encourage you this morning. Find your place. The word says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Finding your place brings rest. Not everything is perfect, but I just know I'm called to be here. As I came to Belgium, I had a very tough start. I parachuted into Belgium and things were not good. The first 2 years were the biggest nightmare in my whole life. And from time to time, I went back to Germany just to recover a little bit. And then I came back. And I remember this one conversation I had with a lady from church. And she, hey, Frank, how are you doing? We were talking Dutch. And I praatte in klein beetje gebroken Nederlands. So I spoke a little bit Dutch by then. And I remember that I told her, you know, coming back here is not easy for me. things in Germany would be so much easier. I understand the language, I understand the system, I can find a job. It's so much easier for me. I don't know if I come here, why it's so tiresome, but I can't help it. I just know that God placed me here. So sometimes it's tough to stand in your place. It's difficult to stand in your place. But I want to encourage you today, stay in your place until the King comes and finds you for promotion. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like it was a delight for me to clean toilets. And I would do it again. And in fact, at home, believe me, I'm cleaning my toilets. You know, there's a story. Now I want to close with that. From an African girl, and some missionaries watched her. And I don't know exactly the land, probably wasn't Africa. And she was carrying a huge load up the hills. And she was sweating. And these West Europeans with this different mindset, they said, young girl, this is such a heavy load you're carrying. This is not right. And this girl looked at them, not knowing what they were talking about. And she said, I'm not carrying a load. I carry my brother. God's burden is light. If we understand what we are called to do, if you understand that you are called to fill this place, making the coffee 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning is delight. You're not making coffee for somebody. You're making coffee for the King of Kings. There's nothing better. Whatever you do, do it as to the Lord. Precious.